Father, I thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to serve you and to serve your people. And I ask that you'd give me what I need tonight, Father. We're all asking you, Lord, for bread, Lord. Your word is bread. It's life, Lord, to us. It satisfies, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. Fill up the empty places, Lord God. Make us complete in you, Lord, in every way. Give me ears to hear your voice, Lord, and grant me the utterance to speak tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I marvel at how faithful the Lord is. I'm not saying this, please don't get me wrong, to boast or anything, but Robin told me that there was 934, something like that, messages since we've been here. You know, that's a lot. But it seems like we just got here or something, you know, but it's been a while, you know. But, you know, we can't do what we're supposed to do except that God enable us to do it. So we rely upon the grace of God. You know, and the Lord has, I found the Lord to be so faithful, you know, that time after time, sometimes I'm not always feeling it. Sometimes I may be tired or whatever, partly cloudy. But God always comes through and he always, you know, gives me something. If we ask, we'll receive, right? God's just wanting us to trust him and be faithful in whatever he's placed before us. Whatever he's put in our hands, just be a good steward of it. And just be faithful and leave the results up to him. Because you and I are about seeding, aren't we? We're planting seed and we're watering. One plants a seed, the other will water, but it's the Lord who brings in the increase. But we get to partner with the Lord and do this. And I'm just grateful that the Lord has saved me, most importantly, pulled me out of the darkness, brought me into his light, and he calls me son. And I get to serve my Father. And I want to please the Father. Amen. And I know you do too. There's four reasons for revelation knowledge. Number one, it's to prepare us for the immediate future. It's to prepare us for his return, to prepare us for eternity, and to accomplish the task of reaching the world with the gospel, fulfilling the Great Commission. Tonight we're going to look at chapter 20 of Revelation, and this is really speaking about the millennium. But it introduces up to us a beautiful, peaceful time on the earth known as the millennium. This is the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Lord will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. There are those who don't believe that there's going to be a literal 1,000-year reign. Some people try to spiritualize everything in the Bible. We have to be able to discern or know the difference, right, between what is literal and what is metaphorical. So they say it's an allegory. Or they try to spiritualize it. But to do so is to ignore many passages of Scripture, right, that refer to the future of Israel as a nation. So God has given national Israel certain promises. He's given them an inheritance. He's given them a land. Amen. And Jerusalem, amen, is known as the city of God, you know. And the Lord is literally going to establish his reign from Jerusalem and reign over all the earth. So I believe it's more of a thing that begins in the spirit and then it translates into reality, or not reality, but into substance, should I say. So what happens in the natural, you know, is influenced by the supernatural or the invisible, right? And so we know that there's a real devil because we can see the bad fruit everywhere, right? But we also know that there's a loving God, amen, a heavenly Father, because we see the goodness of God everywhere as well. And I think as God's people, we have to be careful not to focus so much on what's broken and negative, but on the goodness of God. Keep our minds in the right place. And again, the revelation knowledge that God gives us, even prophecy, is not to scare us, but to prepare us, not only for the future, but the immediate future as well. The distant future, but the immediate future as well. A lot of times God will give us a warning so that we can prepare ourselves for what's coming. God gave Noah a warning, didn't he? That there was going to be a judgment a flood, and he had 120 years to prepare. But he moved with godly fear because he believed God. And so in Isaiah 9, in verse 6, this is one we usually quote for Christmas, but it's, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This is referring, of course, to Jesus the Messiah. "And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And listen, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment," right? "And justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So the city of David, also, right, Jerusalem, the Lord is going to establish his throne there. It's very clear. Now look at Luke 1:33. It says, "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." They didn't say over the house of Esau, right? But Jacob was the son of promise. And we receive salvation by grace through faith in what? In what God has promised to us. It's not of works, but it's by his grace that we are saved. Amen. As we put our faith in God's promises, we're able to receive from the Lord, because faith in God means that I believe what he says. And when I come to a place where I'm in harmony with him and in agreement with what he wants, and I believe what he says, then God will honor that faith with a miracle, with a provision, whatever it is that we need. So Isaiah 11 and verse 6, here it is again. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." Well, we're talking about the millennium, right? The millennial reign of the Lord for 1,000 years. "The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Can you imagine that? A little child, right, leading what? A young lion, all right? And it's going to be a good place on the earth, all right? It's going to be a good time on the earth. Micah 4:4, "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." Now, there's a reason why he put that in there. No one shall make them afraid, because there are many today that are trying to make people fearful. The devil wants people to be afraid so that they will bow down to him. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Amen. And of a sound mind. And so Jesus spoke of the millennium as the regeneration, which means restoration, time of restoration. Okay. Matthew 19:28. "So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration," or the restoration, "when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Peter declared in Acts 3 and verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began," until what? "The times of restoration of all things." This is where he's talking about the millennial reign, that time when the Lord establishes his reign. Hallelujah. Now, where's the center of all this? It's going to be once again in the city of David, Jerusalem, right? And Psalms 2 and verse 6 says, "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion." So tonight we're going to again start off in chapter 20 of Revelation, with begin with verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of that dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after this, these things, he must be released for a little while." That's interesting. I've always puzzled over that. Why would the Lord bind him for 1,000 years and then release him again? Well, understand, first of all, talking about the bottomless pit, this is just a place where God is going to keep him for a season. It's not the lake of fire that we can read about in Revelation 19, verse 19. Because in the lake of fire, remember, it's where the beast and the false prophet are right now. All right? Or will be, too. And this is a temporary prison to confine Satan in order that peace and prosperity and holiness may exist on the earth during the Lord's thousand-year reign. So at the time of this, at the end of this time, Satan is going to be loosed for a little while, and he leads one final revolt against God. So eventually, Satan and his forces will be cast into the lake of fire, where they will spend eternity. Okay, so this is a temporary holding place, all right, until the 1,000 years is expired. And then he'll be released, and he will lead a final revolt against the Lord. And so in verse 10 of chapter 20, it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is after this time, he will be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So why again? This is the question. Why would God allow Satan to be loosed? And I think a good explanation for that is to separate the true followers of Christ on the earth at this time from those who do not truly love him. In other words, to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares, the good fish from the bad fish. So the church will be glorified with Christ at this time and will be reigning with him. And how do we know that? Because as we look at verse 4, and it says, I saw thrones, Revelation 20, verse 4, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived in what? And reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So who sits on these thrones? Well, I believe all who were part of the first resurrection. The Old Testament saints, the church age saints, and the tribulation martyred saints are all going to be part of that. They're going to reign with Christ. The redeemed, okay, who God has made kings and priests with Christ. That's you and I in the Lord. We are kings and priests unto the Lord. In verse 9 in Revelation 5, it says, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us. Have done what? Have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And verse 10, and have made us kings and priests. So who are the kings and priests? The ones who have been, verse 9, redeemed to God by the blood of the Lamb. All right. And we shall reign on the earth. So we're literally going to return with the Lord. Amen. He's going to establish his rule, and those who have been faithful will also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11 says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall what? Also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us, or also deny us. John 5:26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That is why Jesus had to take upon himself the form of sinful Adam, yet without sin. He became like us, to be a faithful high priest, to become our substitute. Amen. He had to become just like Adam. Amen. In the likeness of Adam, and God laid upon him, he became the sin offering for the world, for those of us who have fallen short of God's glory. Jesus, amen, fulfilled our righteousness, amen, and then went to the cross, and God there judged sin on our Savior, amen, on our behalf. Hallelujah. It says, do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming, verse 28, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So we see two resurrections mentioned here. One of life and one of condemnation. And all the dead will one day be raised. Some will be raised to life, some to condemnation. But every person who has ever lived or will ever live falls into one of these two groups. Jesus said, right, there's going to be two resurrections. Luke 14:13, but when you give a feast, he said, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, verse 14, because you cannot repay, they cannot repay you. Listen, for you what? Shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Hallelujah. That's the good resurrection. That's the first resurrection. That's the resurrection that we want to be a part of. Amen? But look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And then it's talking about this is the first resurrection. So there's going to be a group, okay, that are in the first resurrection. And the others are going to be, you know, who aren't going to be part of that, it seems to me, they're not going to live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this, again, is the first resurrection. So the rest of the dead mentioned here were raised 1,000 years later. They could not be part of the first resurrection because the first resurrection people reign with Christ, what? 1,000 years. So do you see the difference there? There's a first group, they reign with the Lord 1,000 years, and that other, those that remain or that aren't part of that order are not going to live again until that 1,000 years were finished. All right. Now look at verse 6. It's how it ties it together. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be, here it is, priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You see, we can see how the Bible connects the dots, right? The Bible proves itself within itself. There's a cross-reference, there's other references, there's other witnesses that we bring together, and they're saying the same thing. There's going to be two different types of judgments. There's going to be two different resurrections. There's going to be that of the just and that of the unjust, those who are in life and those who are going to be condemned. And so blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Who are those who will have part in the first resurrection? Those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so those who take part in the first resurrection are the ones who will reign with the Lord during the millennium. And while the members of this second group remain in their graves, they will be raised for the great white throne judgment after the 1,000 years. And I don't have a lot of time to go into the differences between the two, but just to touch on it a little bit tonight. But the resurrection of life, we believe, is the judgment seat of Christ, which is the Bema, which is the award ceremony for how well we've run the race. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, Paul said, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent, what? From the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to him. So, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is the Bema. All right, now listen. He says, "We verse 9, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him." And back to verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what happens to us when we die? I believe the Bible's clear about this. We go to be with the Lord. Amen. Our body goes into the grave. Amen. Until the final redemption, which is the redemption of the body. For this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. God will give us a brand new, amen, body that doesn't wear out. Praise God. But our souls will immediately be with the Lord. Amen. Until that day. And then the resurrection of condemnation. Now, this is the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, Paul also mentioned this when he was giving his defense before Felix at Caesarea. In Acts 24, verse 15, he says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of what? There it is again, he mentions it, the just and the unjust. Now, I think this is important because there is confusion, and some of the cults have got some really weird ideas about the resurrection. And, you know, the Bible is clear that Jesus, amen, rose bodily. And he came with a body, amen. A body had been prepared for him. And the Gnostics have just tried to spiritualize that to where he didn't have a literal physical body. But it was necessary for Jesus to take upon himself the form of sinful Adam, yet without sin, so that he could be a sacrifice for, amen, the sins of Adam and his offspring, which is you and I, all who have been born, amen, and were born into sin, and we've all fallen short of God's glory. And the only hope what we had is that someone would take our place. And that's what exactly what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Amen. That Jesus loved me that much. And so don't ever doubt God's love for you. You know, the devil wants to beat you over the head over your failures and your past, and because he wants to rob you of your confidence in your God. You know, if we think that's, oh, God's mad at me, or God hates me, or God doesn't forgive me, then we live in self-condemnation, because that's not the reality. If you've been repentant and you ask God to forgive you, he's faithful and just to forgive you, amen, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's his promise. So we receive by faith his promises. We receive forgiveness as a promise from God, not something to be attained or achieved, but something to be received by faith. Amen. So the expression here in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So the expression, those who eagerly wait for him, is a description of all true believers. Isn't it true? That's what we're looking forward to. Amen. A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, where the Lord is going to reign. Hallelujah. He's going to put down all rule and all authority. He's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will be peace on earth during that time. Hallelujah. And today we have a deposit. We have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Lord, the Holy Spirit has come. Amen. To us. All right. We've received his Spirit so that we can have peace in our hearts. Even though there isn't peace or much peace in this world, we can have peace with our Lord. Hallelujah. And it's the peace of God that will guard our hearts and our minds and keep us from losing it. You know, guys, we have a refuge, don't we? Aren't you glad? I don't know what I would do without the Lord. And I don't know how I lived as long as I did without the Lord. But I'm so glad that I have a friend in Jesus, you know, that I can talk to the Lord anytime. Hallelujah. I have access to him anytime. I don't have to wait to Sunday morning to talk to Jesus. Amen. We can talk to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. He's there. And you need to believe that he's there. You need to believe that he's listening right now. You need to believe that he hears your thoughts right now. He is with us. He is Emmanuel. Amen. God with us. Hallelujah. And he's come, what? In his Spirit. Hallelujah. To dwell in our hearts. And we have become sons and daughters through the new birth. Now, when Jesus returns, it's not going to be to deal with the sin problem, right? Because he already finished that work at the cross. But he's going to come to gather his people to himself. Hallelujah. Remember John 14:2. You know this so well. But in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The heavenly bridegroom has gone, and then returned to the Father's house to prepare a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I believe this means that we're going to first be brought, amen, to the Father's house before the Lord returns to establish his reign I believe that is speaking of the rapture. At the Father's time, when he has appointed time, when he tells the Son, now's the time to get your bride, then he will come for his people. Amen. And we will be gathered in into the bridal chamber. We'll be brought into the marriage supper. Amen. Of the Lamb. Hallelujah. There will be a celebration. Hallelujah. And the time will come when the Lord will return with what? 10,000s of his saints. Hallelujah. Right. And, but I believe to be, again, like Paul said, whether we're absent or present in the body, amen, we're to live for the Lord. If we are absent from this body, it means we're with the Lord, amen, we're with Him. And even though we're in this body, we're still with the Lord, but the veil of flesh keeps us from seeing the full picture, right? And but I believe the Bible's clear that we've been raised up together with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. There's been a resurrection in the sense that we've been united with Him already in the Spirit. Okay. Now, at His ascension, Acts 1:9. Now, when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? You know what's next, right? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. It's coming in clouds of glory. Hallelujah. So there's coming a day. And we don't know how much time, but the early church, you know, there's a lot of people have differing views of when Jesus is going to come, when the rapture is going to occur. But we do know for a fact that the early church lived with anticipation of the imminent return of the Lord. So we all one thing we know for sure, we are much closer now than ever before to the coming of the Lord. Amen. And so God has called you and I to partner with Him, to be ambassadors, to be His representatives, to be salt, to be light, amen, to be bearers of the truth, amen, to speak the truth in love. People need the Lord. They need to know that there is an escape. Oh, I know some people, you just want an escape. Well, Jesus said there was going to be an escape. Yeah. So for who? Well, for the redeemed and those who are ready when He comes. Those who are prepared. Again, the four reasons for revelation knowledge is to prepare us, to equip us for His return, for eternity. And most importantly, right now in this time, to accomplish the task of reaching the world with the gospel. You know, people are wanting to know what's going on. People are looking around more than ever now, saying, what in the world is going on? The world is insane. Things are crazy everywhere. We can say, well, Jesus said it would be that way before He came. Amen. But He's also saying that, you know, you need to get ready to meet the Lord. You need to be prepared to meet the Lord. And the only way you can be ready is to allow God to make you ready. That means you cooperate with Him in the process and through repentance and faith. Amen. We're made right with God. And by grace, we also stand. We'll be able to endure to the end by the grace of God that He supplies. It's not of us. It's not because I'm a good Christian today, because I tried especially hard to be a good Christian. It's because I relied more heavily on the grace of God. The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, amen, to help me, to be my guide, to be my comforter, to be my strength, to be my wisdom. Everything I have need of, the Lord richly supplies to me by His Spirit. So again, it's not because I just happen to perform well today. But the only way that you and I are able to overcome is by the blood of Jesus, amen, and the word of our testimony. That word of faith, we speak the truth, amen. Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, amen. Hallelujah. We used to do this thing called the Apostles' Creed, and And when I was in the Korean American church, every time we got together, we always quoted this. And I'm going to try to do it from memory. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, who ascended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you believe? We believe. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Hold fast. Amen. It's going to get, we've got some turbulence up ahead. We all know it. We see it happening, don't we? But the good news is that the Lord is with us. And the Lord has enough grace for us to get us through to the end. Amen. So we will be victorious. You know how I can say that? Because the victor lives within me. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And by the grace of God, I am who I am today. And by the grace of God, I will overcome. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the faithful one and that you are true. And those who call upon you, Lord, you will not forsake. Hallelujah. Amen.